Greetings, strangers. I am the majestic. That's all I had. I thought I had something else. Marvelous. The majestic, marvelous, magnificent Britt. You can do it, D. I believe in you. You got this.
I don't. I was like, am I thinking of words that start with M? Because you took all of them.
I did, huh?
So.
No.
Yeah.
Maleficent.
You call me an evil queen?
Magnet.
Did you say Maleficent or?
Maleficent. I said Maleficent. Is it Maleficent?
Oh. What is it?
No, I know.
I'll take it.
What's another one? I don't know.
Yeah, you took all of them.
Mundane, but that's not. Magic. Magical.
I was going to say the first couple was some insults, but I was like, I'm going to let them slide.
Did I say marvelous about myself? Marvelous.
Yes. I think so. But okay. Anyway, I'm D. You done called me Maleficent.
The devil.
And mundane. I'm like, dang.
The debonair. The debonair, Miss D. And welcome back to another episode of
It's a Strange World After All.
The podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all of the things that keep the world strange.
Before we get to today's episode, I was just going to say we have to bring it up at least.
What?
The Alabama.
Oh my God. So I thought about that, but then I was like, does that fit? But we don't care. We black and we need justice. So wait, the only thing I'm going to say, because you brought it up, but let me say this before I forget. The fact that I had just realized like yesterday, because I was going to do a video on it, that now that day is like marked in history and that is my birthday.
And that is your birthday.
Yes. Alabama Rising. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious, because I was like, did you see the one guy got a tattoo? He got a tattoo of a folding chair and it said Montgomery, Alabama, August 5th.
Like somebody that didn't even have anything to do with the...
Yeah, it was just a random black dude.
Oh, maybe I should give me a little folding chair. Or like a little stick figure throwing his hat up. Wait a minute, so I've watched it, like a lot of you, so many times. And I keep thinking, okay, is this like a government? Like, are they trying to distract us from something? Because the way he threw his hat up was so animated. It literally was like, and then if you see people reenacting it, they got it down to the T because it looked like he was acting, because he'd take a little step back and then he'd go.
Yep.
I said, is this real life?
I feel like maybe they discussed it before they got off the boat, because, I mean, apparently they was on that boat for a long time because those white folks wouldn't move.
That's crazy.
So I'm thinking he was like, they was in there discussing. He was like, okay, when I throw my hat up. Because, yeah, all the people that was fighting was people that worked on the boat. So
yeah,
they all knew each other. So, and then the one that swam, I was like, he's only 16.
I know. He was with the shit. Like, he been waiting. He been waiting. You know, when you're a teen, that's exciting. Somebody was the but what was it?
Aquaman.
I said, dang. Then the fact, because he body slammed the mess out of one of them, I was like, he's this big. What he been doing? Somebody was like, he been training for this whole life.
Man, because I was like, before I saw that angle of him actually fighting, because I only saw him swimming at first, but you saw Ricky Smiley came out with a video and he was like, and the dude that swam, he didn't do nothing. He don't need no praise and this and that. And then I was like, wait a minute. Then I saw the other angle of him body slam. I was like,
No, he did something. He came. He came. It wasn't like at first because it was still kind of like,
yeah,
like, you know, moving. Because, yeah, I couldn't, like, on TikTok, which I was like, that's probably people trying not to get, like, their content flagged. Because on TikTok, I couldn't at first find any videos of, like, the fight. It was just people talking about it and, like, pictures. So I had to go on YouTube. But, yeah, I was like, first of all, the fact that he got in that hole and swam, like, that's enough. Like, the fact that he was like, hold on, like, I'm finna defend mine. I said, dang, that man didn't have to hit that lady with that's the one thing y'all can come for me. Y'all can come for me. He did not. He just wanted to be in the fight. He just wanted some action.
You gotta see the videos of people like me enjoying the fight until he hit the woman with the chair. Because I was like, first of all, where did he get the chair? Where did the chair come from?
That's why they keep showing like them with them on their belt. Like, I keep that thing on me. Like, where did it come from?
Where? I was like, because he hit a man first. And then I saw a different angle of somebody filming from inside the boat. so you just see the man coming up. I was like, oh my God.
I really want to, but the hype gonna die down. I really wanted to do a reenactment because that lady, they keep, that lady that was commentating.
That was narrating.
Yes, my God. I was dead. Look at him swimming across that water. Look at him. I said, I absolutely freaking love us. I don't care what nobody says. Because somebody was like, black people, we play too much. And like, something, but like basically saying like, we need to do better. It was somebody saying, like, we need to do better or something like that. And I was like,
Marlon Wayans.
No, they need to do better. They need to do better because this is the perfect example of like when people are like, okay, there's no such thing as like white privilege or like entitlement. You have to feel some kind of entitlement to be taking up a whole last spot. You know, because it's one of those like casino boats or what was it?
Yeah, one of those, what do you call them? It's like where you do those like dinner cruises.
Yeah, but like literally they told your ass not to go there and you did it anyway. And like you could literally see the black man slowly get, cause like he tried to be like, hey, like you could see his body language that when he came, he was like, you know, I don't want no smoke. Like just, we asked y'all what we do. And then it was like, okay, like y'all still not. Then you're going to attack this man. What did you think was going to happen? Like, how entitled do you have to be to think you're in the complete wrong, but you're going to put your hands on this man? Then your people going to jump in. And like that, there's not going to be any consequences for that. Like, no, men and women. Because at first I was like, well, nobody shouldn't have put their hands on the woman. But one of them women had stomped him. Like, no, if you're going to join the fight and try to stomp on people.
Is that the one that got thrown in the water?
I think so. I'm about to go back. Look, now I'm going to have to go. Now I got an excuse to go back and watch it. Now I got an excuse.
Oh, you didn't see them throw that lady in the water?
I said, I don't remember. Or maybe I didn't realize. Like, maybe I wasn't like, it was so chaotic. You literally have to watch it several times.
Because I think it was a black woman that threw her. And then I was like, it seemed like the black woman appeared out of nowhere.
Hello? And then one of the men's. Heck, it kind of tried to like muff the black one. Like, why are you putting your hands on her like that? Like, literally, like, yes, some people were there probably just to get in the fight. But I'm sorry, you watching that, like, what you supposed to just let it happen? For one, we're not finna let nobody get jumped. And then, like, you got to think about it. A lot of those people that weren't a part of the staff had probably been drinking. We sick and tired of being sick and tired. We tired of the entitlement.
Yep.
We try to be nonviolent. That don't work. Like Dr. Martin Luther King tried to be nonviolent. That didn't work. So like at what point do you say like those people keep saying you're gonna fuck around and find out? Like this ain't it's 2023. Like we're not finna do that no more. And you could be like, oh well, shame on black people. No, shame on them for assaulting this man who was just trying to do his job. Like that's crazy. And for having the entitlement to stay parked
y'all
there.
Y'all know y'all wasn't supposed to be right there.
Y'all know y'all wasn't supposed to be parked. Child, I said, well,
Today is a beautiful day.
I know. Love to
forever
see
in history. Somebody said, I'm going to tell my kids this was the Boston Tea Party. I said, oh, I hope I have kids now. It's like, I'll be like, let me tell you what happened 2023 on August 5th, the day, you know. Anyway.
Man. That was a good birthday present for you.
Girl. I was watching videos, cracking up.
And then I saw another one where one of the white dudes, I guess he got so scared, he jumped off the boat and swam the other way.
See, I didn't see that. Like, I saw that white lady like run to the edge of the boat and was like, ah. But when those black dudes walked up, because they were like, when you see some niggas skipping and without skipping, no shirts,
man,
and you better.
Man.
That's crazy.
And then, one last thing, there's a picture of, I think it was when, not when the lady got hit with the chair, but when he hit that man with the chair. You see him in the background hitting the dude with the chair, but it's a black dude standing up looking up at the person's camera and smiling like for the picture. And everybody's like, oh, this is me.
Girl, because I wouldn't have been part of the action, like, but I would have been right there documenting it. I do still stand behind the fact that the chair was a little excessive. Not the him hitting the dude, because I don't care, but the lady, but whatever. Yeah. Everybody else, I'm sorry, that was justified.
And then when they handcuffed him after he hit that lady, did you see another white woman had ran up to the cop and the cop had pushed her down?
I think I do remember seeing that, because I was like, dang, they still want the smoke.
Yep.
That's crazy.
I say the cop, he had to do his job, but he sure did get his pushing.
Shoot, he probably was mad too. He probably was like, dang, I got to try to stay professional, but F these white people, like, I don't know. I mean, I pose if anybody, you know, wants to DM us. If you felt like it was excessive, what would you have done? Would you have just let this man get beat up? Because that first black dude tried to break it up, but they were still, you know. So I don't know. What do you do?
Yeah, because even one part of the crew was a white kid, and he was like one of the first people over there trying to stop it. And then the white person hit him, and then he just disappeared.
He was like, look, I don't get paid enough for this.
I know.
And shout out to the white people laughing at it. Shout out to the white people that's on our side. That's like, y'all done got a little too confident. They gonna show you.
Okay.
26 hours later.
I know. In today's episode, we have a 2-for-1 about Jameson Whiskey, Michael Rockefeller, and cannibalism. Trigger warning.
Is that a trigger warning? Trigger warning. It's cannibalism. It's excessive violence. Yeah. This is violence, excessive.
Yeah, you're eating people.
That's true. Oh, I guess, and if it makes the episode, technically you got a 3-for-1 because you got the Alabama Rising. You got our opinions on the Montgomery Rising. So,
yeah.
James S. Jameson was the great-great-grandson of John Jameson, who was the founder of the Irish Whiskey Company. Jameson. I don't drink whiskey, so
I don't either. No. Yeah,
I've had peanut butter whiskey. Have you ever had that?
Mm-mm.
It's not.
Ever had Jameson.
Oh, okay.
So okay.
Yeah, it's not bad in Coca Cola, but I don't even drink dark soda, so I'd be like, I don't like it. But that's neither here nor there, James. James was a wannabe, in these words, a wannabe adventurer, and would tag along on the expeditions of more accomplished explorers. In 1888, James joined the Emin Pasha Relief Expedition, I believe is how you say that, led by Henry Morton Stanley across Central Africa.
The purpose of this trip was to rescue a colonial governor they assumed was in danger. This mission became infamous because many of the men passed away. They contracted various diseases and numerous incidents of mistreatment occurred. During the expedition, the group stayed in a village called Lokandu, I think.
Okay,
Yeah. That's what I'm going to go with. Yeah. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, known at this time as Rubakiba.
Yeah, that sounds familiar to me. Rubakiba.
Not to me. And I apologize if I'm pronouncing these wrong. I know I am, so apologies. The town was allegedly known for cannibalism.
This don't have nothing. I mean, it's related, but not like brother, sister, anything. Maybe like a distant cousin. I dated somebody from the Congo. Well, not dated. We went out on a date and talked a little bit. I was like, y'all, what if he like an African prince? And I don't know. And I didn't know. What if it's like coming to America? Because he was working at the hotel with us. And I was like, what if you really got like a lot of money? Jimmy, what's his name? Jimmy, if you are listening to this and you are still available, I am single as a Pringle and ready to mingle.
Oh my God.
Jimmy Alphonse, I think was his name. Sliding his DMs, y'all be like, hey, what you doing?
Okay.
According to James's translator, Assad Farhan, he expressed interest in witnessing. Was that your stomach?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my bad. I mean, call you out. In witnessing the practice. Enough. It's three episodes in a row.
My stomach never does this until we record.
Oh, I was going to say you lying because I got the last three episodes. Okay.
My bad.
He expressed interest in witnessing the practice in action. Why? I don't know. Assad would later tell Henry, the man leading the expedition, about this. And they were put into contact with Tipu Tip, not to be confused with Tip Hair. No, I'm just playing. Tipu was a famed slave trader who worked in the area.
Tipu then talked to the chiefs of the village, and they were presented with a 10-year-old slave girl that James paid 6 handkerchiefs for.
Like actual handkerchiefs?
Mm-hmm.
They was worth
something
back then?
Yeah. You remember when we went to the, was it the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis?
Mm-hmm.
And they had one of the displays mentioned it, not this, but mentioned handkerchiefs, chiefs, handkerchiefs, however you say it.
It's, I think it's a handkerchief.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
But they
I
mentioned, yeah.
No.
Yeah, because I was trying to read as much as I could on like with the different displays. And one of them mentioned they used to do that. So.
Yeah, no, I don't. Great, great museum.
Yeah. Assad said the chiefs told their villagers, this is a present from a white man who wishes to see her eaten.
Why? Is it because they were cannibals?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. He wanted to take part.
The villagers were. He wanted to watch.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah. I take part in watching was what observing, which is sick. Okay, so the girl was tied to a tree, and one of the villagers stabbed her twice in the stomach. The men then proceeded to cut off pieces of her body and took them to the river to wash them. James wrote in his diary, the most extraordinary, extraordinary. The most extraordinary thing was that the girl never uttered a sound nor struggled until she fell.
Mm. And when did we say this was?
1888. Okay, I was making sure that was the year. 1888.
And then again, this is all alleged, but I mean, it's supposed to be according to his diary.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. According to Assad, James made rough sketches of the horrible scenes. James later went to his tent where he finished his sketches in watercolors. James also wrote in his diary, when I went home, I tried to make some small sketches of the scene while still fresh in my memory.
I just said, okay, but James, did you eat her? That's what I want to know. Because I know he wanted to observe.
Yeah.
But if you're there and everybody's like, you know, partaking, did you partake?
Yeah, that's a good question because Do you think he did?
He probably was like,
because I mean, I feel like if you would be willing to watch it, I feel like you would participate. Because who wants to see that?
I don't know. It was wild back then. I don't know. That's sick to see.
Yeah, very.
And the fact that it wasn't even like, not that I'm condoning for survival, but you know what I mean? The fact that it wasn't even for survival purposes, they was just cooking people up because that was their way of life.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is.
On August 3rd, 1888, while still on the expedition, James Jameson, which you're never supposed to trust people with two first names, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
This is a bad look. James Jameson died of a fever at Boyoma Falls. While he was dying, he wrote a letter to his wife in an attempt to save face. Mrs. Jameson sent the letter for publication in the New York Times after his passing to save his reputation. This is my theory, and I'm going to reach again. I'm reaching one-handed, blindfolded. I hope that girl put a curse on them. I feel like he might have ate a little piece of her. And like before, the reason why she was so calm before she died was like, you know what? I got y'all. I hope y'all, I'm going to give y'all a disease and y'all die. And then that's what happened because he ate her and then he died. I'm hoping that's what happened.
Sounds pretty accurate.
That would be a good movie.
I could see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pitch it, D. Slide in Netflix's DM. No, Tubi. Pitch it to Tubi.
Tubi.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was your idea.
I'm gonna pitch it to Tubi. I'm gonna pitch it to Tubi.
Mm-hmm. In James's account in his diary and his wife's account of the events, they tried to play it off as though James went along with what happened because he thought it was a joke. He claimed he didn't think the villagers would actually kill and eat a child. This doesn't explain why he paid six handkerchiefs and I always feel like I say that wrong.
It's handkerchief, I thought. Is it handkerchief? Handkerchief. Handkerchief.
People say it different, but it's either way. Paid six. Oh, you Googling it? Handkerchiefs. Because I see chiefs and I want to say chiefs. Handkerchief. Yeah. Because it's chiefs.
Stop pronunciation.
And then I was thinking of, what's his name, when he called him a handkerchief head Negro. Eric Mays.
Oh. Let's see. Handkerchief. Handkerchief.
Handkerchief.
I was confirming that it is handkerchief, not handkerchief.
Okay. And attempted to sketch the incident while it unfolded.
They lying.
So
that's
they're
a lie.
Saying, yeah. Because like, if this didn't happen, why would you have all this in your diary?
Oh, wait, they're saying that it didn't happen. I thought they were saying like that.
No, he knew he was sick and he knew he was going to die. So he wrote a letter to his wife trying to downplay it. He was like, oh, I just went along. So according to him, it actually did happen, but he didn't think they were for real. That's what he's saying. He's saying he never went looking for it.
Yes, you did because you paid.
Because you paid.
Six handkerchiefs. Handkerchiefs. That's what you pay.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. Like, dude, if somebody walked up to you on the street, was like, "Hey, give me what's like a significant? Like, give me $600, and then I'ma take a kid, and we gonna cook them, we gonna eat them. First of all, I'm not gonna pay $600. You know, if I don't even think." That it's real. I don't want to see it in the first place, but I'm definitely not finna pay.
Oh, if you think they just joking. Like, why would you?
Yeah, why would you pay? And then, like, who?
Yeah.
Who jokes about that? Like, because wasn't it known that they were cannibals?
Cannibals.
Or at least rumored?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sound like a lie. As my dad said, sound like a lie. Probably not, because it was so old. I was gonna say, is there anywhere where you could find these sketches? But probably not, huh?
I don't think anybody's ever seen the sketches.
Oh, because if the sketches are detailed too, then you saw that. You didn't make that up.
Yeah.
James Jameson never faced justice because of his untimely death in 1888. James's family with the help from the Belgian government, were able to cover up many of the allegations, and the mission would be the last of its kind.
So, I mean, I think we pretty much have our final thoughts because we feel like he's lying and it actually happened.
The boy's a liar. The boy's a liar. He's lying. Yep. Yeah. Final thoughts. And he ate a piece of her. I'm convinced that he ate a piece of her too. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it.
I just want to know, have you ever heard of this before?
Which one? The Jameson whiskey?
The Jameson whiskey.
No. Mm-mm.
I wonder how many people knew about this, because I first heard about it a couple years ago. And then I was like, wait a minute, but I could never find anything on it. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to keep this in the back of my mind for when we started our podcast. And then I was like, wait a minute, where all this information come from?
No, but, I never.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, though.
So that's the history behind, yeah, Jameson whiskey. Not cool, yeah. But yeah.
Interesting. It's interesting because of, you know, yeah. Who it is. Yeah.
Okay, so the next one in our two for one is about Michael Rockefeller. You know who
like
he
the
is?
Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's the son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Michael Rockefeller was born on May 18th, 1938. He was the fifth child of New York governor and former U.S. Vice President Nelson Rockefeller. In 1960, Michael served for 6 months as a private in the United States Army and then went on an expedition for Harvard's Peabody Museum of Archaeology and Ethnology to study the Dani tribe of Western New Guinea. So we have another expedition.
I was about to say, y'all gotta stay away from these expeditions. Michael and a friend briefly left the expedition to study the Asmat tribe of Southern Netherlands, New Guinea. When he returned home, he decided to go back to study the Asmat tribe and collect Asmat art. This time, he was accompanied by Renee Wassing, I think is how you say that, a government anthropologist.
On November 19th, 1961, as their boat approached Ostjenep, it suddenly overturned, leaving Michael and Renee stranded. They were clinging to the boat, and after drifting for some time, Michael said, "I think I can make it," and swam for shore, which was 12 miles away. He was never seen again. Renee was found the next day.
Would you have swam? What would you have
done? No, because I don't know how to swim.
No. I know how to swim. I don't know if I know how to ocean swim.
Can you swim for 12 miles though?
Nah, I don't think so. Like, and then I feel like ocean swimming. I feel like ocean swimming takes more out of you, like, cause you're going against the current usually. Oh, well, no, I'm sorry. I lied. Cause they were stranded and then he had to go towards the shore. So no, he's not swimming against the current. I don't know. It just feels like extra. I think unless it was like hot, I think I would have been like, well, let's stay here. Because, I mean, you can last a day without food and water. So I'd be like, let's just stay here. But then would you want to be there by nightfall? I don't know. How big was the boat? If it was like a pretty sizable boat, we just going to stay here.
That,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Yeah.
Like, if it's like a little bitty, like, rowboat, then no. But if it's, no, because it was like expedition. Expedition. Yeah.
Yeah,
I keep thinking of the car. So I'm like, is that right? So no, it was probably a pretty sizable boat. Yeah, I just would have stayed. I would have been like, if don't nobody come after 24 hours, then we're going to have to figure something out.
But then you got to think of it. They were just out there floating because the boat overturned.
Oh, so, fudge. Yeah. What was she doing? Hanging on top? Because nobody come to the next day. She was just chilling on top of the boat. Is Renee a woman or a man? He was just chilling on top of the boat. He was just chilling on top of the boat.
I guess. Chilling on some debris.
That's crazy. Wilson. That's crazy. Michael's parents flew to New Guinea to help in the search for their son. After 9 days, the Dutch interior minister stated, there is no longer.
Oh my God. I don't know what that was.
I'm Dutch, y'all.
You sound
there
like
no
gold member. Oh, wait, was he supposed to be Dutch?
I think so. Or Swedish. one of them. Types of, yeah, one of them. Y'all. There is no longer, so the minister stated, there is no longer any hope of finding Michael Rockefeller alive. His body was never found, and he was declared dead in 1964. It was reported that Michael either drowned or was attacked by a shark. However, because headhunting and cannibalism were still present in areas of Asmat in 1961, there were rumors that Michael may have been killed and eaten by the tribespeople from the Asmat village of Otsjenep. How you say it? Otsjenep.
Yeah. In 2014, Carl Hoffman published the book Savage Harvest, A Tale of Cannibals, Colonialism, and Michael Rockefeller's Tragic Quest for Primitive Art. During multiple visits to the villages in the area, Carl heard stories about men from Otsjenep killing Michael after he made it to the shore. I wasn't laughing at that. I was just laughing because of the word, but I got it out good.
Otsjenep. Yeah. You said it good the first time. You like sped through it. I was like, good for her.
Yeah. And I was trying to talk fast, but I end up coughing. I was like, Lord, I ain't gonna say it again. The story centered around a few men arguing and then deciding to kill Michael in revenge for a 1958 incident in which men from the village were killed in a confrontation with Dutch. So this is no colonial officials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I believe, because this is one of those stories where he had no business being over there in the first place.
I was thinking that.
Because he was trying to basically take their art. So that's why, so when he went the first time, he saw it, and then he was like, oh, I want to go back and get some of this art. So he went back, and then he disappeared.
I mean, it's hard to feel bad. I mean.
Yeah. And this kind of reminds me of, you remember that guy a few years ago that was trying to get into that village and they killed him?
On sight. I was like, I wonder if I could get in.
Mm-mm. No, that's only because, though, like, they haven't had people there from the outside ever. So
no, I know they don't welcome
like us goes over there, we're bringing, like, disease and all kind of stuff.
No, I know.
So... yeah,
that's crazy. I'd be like, no, I don't have no. I bathe and everything. I survived COVID twice, might I add. But no,
Lord. But then there are pictures of him with villagers, but I don't know if it was from that expedition, if it was from the first time Michael Rockefeller, because it was like his last known pictures alive.
Ooh,
and he was with them, so.
Some went awry. Something.
Yeah.
He probably was trying to get over on something happened.
Yeah.
This story was similar to testimonies collected in 1961. As Carl left one of the villages for the last time, he witnessed a man acting out a scene where someone was killed. So he stopped and videotaped it. He only caught the end, but some of what was said was, don't you tell this story to any other man or village, because this story is only for us. Don't speak and tell the story. What really happened to Michael Rockefeller remains a mystery. So his body never turned up.
Nope.
Crazy.
Yeah. And then I was like, how much do we know about this Carl person? Because nobody's ever seen, I don't think nobody's ever seen the tape, because he said he caught the end of them talking about it. So why wouldn't you release it?
Oh, I get what you're saying.
I don't think it was ever released. So how do you know the tape even exists?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Yeah, not unless he's lying.
Oh, maybe it has something to do with the art. Because I was like, he went over there and he... with no problems, and he came back, so I don't know what Michael Rockefeller was doing.
I don't know, not unless he did get slooped up by a shark, but...
yeah.
I don't know, because 12 miles is a long anything. Walking, running, bike riding, that's long.
Yeah.
But swimming, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Because he might have been swimming and then maybe like got winded. Because you have to have like really good endurance to swim in the first place. Either that or maybe someone that didn't know who he was thought maybe he was a threat and attacked them and killed them and it was too late. I don't know.
Yeah, that one, I don't know. Because I was like, looking at the pictures and stuff, if it's the same village, it looked like they didn't have an issue with him because he was just there chilling with them. And
not unless he swam into the Twilight Zone.
Something, maybe. I think I read something about that author too, because I think, or was it somebody that made a documentary
about this?
Because somebody went and like lived with them for a little while.
Oh.
So I don't know.
Was this after they were done practicing?
It was during.
Oh, you think I would go there? Although I thought people who practice cannibalism had specific rules about cannibalism. Like I thought that they didn't necessarily kill healthy living people. Like usually if someone was, but that could be wrong, dying or like they have a code.
I don't know. Hmm. I'm trying to see, because I'm Googling the tribe, but I can't find, because I think he was over there eating people too. Not to say it like that, but he was basically living like he was part of the tribe.
Rockefeller.
No, this one guy who did the documentary, but I cannot. Yeah, I don't know. I can't find it.
Oh, well. That's okay. It's an episode already long, so that's okay. I mean,
I was gonna say, yeah. But yeah, anyway, those are my final thoughts. He was over there doing something he ain't had no business doing.
Possibly. Case of mistaken identity.
Allegedly.
Or he got ate.
Yeah.
Or he got ate by a shark. Or he drowned because he got winded because he miscalculated the 12 miles.
Yeah. Because if he did drown, like, they wouldn't find his body. Because it was so, the ocean is so big. I don't think they would find his body.
That's a possibility, yeah. My final thoughts is can't stop, won't stop Rockefeller Records because we get down, baby. We get down. The whole time I've been thinking about that, I was like, wait, what's that one? Ain't it a Rockefeller Records? But that's my final thoughts. Well, that is all, folks, for James Jameson Whiskey and Michael Rockefeller.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. What did you think of this week's episode? What are your theories about what happened to Michael Rockefeller? Do you have more information? DM us. Let us know. If there's anything else in the world of strange or true crime cases that you would like us to cover, let us know. If you have any personal stories involving true crime or the supernatural, we would love to have you on the show and share them with our listeners. We are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre. So if you have any movies or documentaries and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, you can email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms. D mentioned, even if you just want to say, hey there, we will be here.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of It's a Strange World After All.
And thank you as always, guys, for keeping it strange.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.